Just had this thought that the Spirit of God that hovered over all things and brought order out of chaos at creation dwells within you. Just allow that to sink in for a moment. Linda, in that preparation for the offering, said that we're, as a community, to honor each other. And right before our service started, I just said, Lord, what do you want for your people today in my prayer? And I sensed the Lord quickly lay on my heart, honor my people. Bring honor to my people. And so we're going to see what the Lord has for us this morning. And we're going to be talking about worship, and we're going to be talking about sanctuary, our sanctuary, and our space. And as we prepare our hearts to do that, I invite you to read through Acts chapter 17, verses 16 through 33 is our scripture reading this morning. And really won't be diving into this passage. We'll be building off of one of the foundational principles that Paul teaches in it, but it's one of my favorites. And so I wanted to read more than just the one or two verses that speak to our message this morning. So beginning with verse 16. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he argued in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and also in the marketplace, every day with those who happened to be there. Also, some Epicurean and Stoic philosophers debated with him. Some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign divinities." This was because he was telling the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. And so they took him and brought him to the Areopagus and asked him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? It sounds rather strange to us, so we would like to know what it means." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners living there would spend their time in nothing but telling or hearing of something new. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him. Though indeed he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, 'For we too are his offspring.' Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed the day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some scoffed, but others said, 'We will hear you again about this.' And at that point, Paul left them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want you to take a moment and just look around at the space around you. Perhaps it's been some time since you've really been drawn to one of the stained glass windows, one of the 10 that tell the story of Christ. to see how truly brilliant they are, to allow them to invite you into perhaps a message from the Lord. Most of us, when we gather in this space, spend a lot of our time looking in this direction, and so perhaps the rose window has oftentimes been an object of your adorations, your observation, or the carving on the back wall. You know, we have pictures, black and white pictures, of that piece being hand-carved in the wood shop. Amazing work of art. The stone, the space, the Gothic cathedral that it is, the symbolism. It's hard to gather in this space without feeling a sense of being brought into the presence of God. It's an amazing building. It's an awe-inspiring sanctuary. And I've told many people upon coming to Ashland, even 8 years ago, that, you know, I would meet folks and they would ask me why, you know, what do you do? What brought you to Ashland? Well, I'm serving as pastor of the First Presbyterian Church. Oh, that's just an incredible building. Oh, that sanctuary is just a wonderful sanctuary. Yes, indeed it is. And I've often said that my prayer for our church, for our congregation, is that one day people in Ashland would say, oh, First Presbyterian Church, what an incredible congregation. What an incredible group of people that gather in that space. And though this week I began to wonder, what if being known for our sanctuary and being known for our people is ultimately one and the same? Let me say more about that over the next few moments. Some of you may know that the word sanctuary in a very literal way means a place of refuge or safety. A place of refuge or safety. And in a more religious context, then meant as to be known as a sacred space, a place of refuge and safety because we come into the presence of God who dwells in this space. And because God's presence is here, we feel more safe because we come under God's care. Now, this idea of God's presence being here in the sanctuary and in our dwelling place, dwelling in this place, is an idea rooted in the Old Testament's understanding of space. Whether it be the tabernacle, which was a more mobile and movable form of the temple, which was a later and more permanent structure, the understanding was that God's presence would come and settle into this space, and then the people would come and gather and enter into God's presence. And so to have an Old Testament understanding of the tabernacle and the temple and to apply that then to our sanctuary and our space would be to understand that God dwells within this structure. And so when we gather here on Sunday mornings, we enter into the presence of God. And so there would be an outer courts where people would gather, an inner courts where they would come and more formally worship, and in a holy of holies where God's presence would be. Yet only the high priest could enter into that space in very infrequent occasions to come into the presence of God and hear the word of God for the people of God. And yet Paul, in the scripture reading that we looked at this morning, makes it very clear that this is no longer the way that we're to understand God's presence in space. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands. The New Living Translation says, does not live in man-made temples. The NIV does not live in temples built by human hands. God does not live and dwell in our structures that we build. Something has shifted from the Old Testament scriptures to the New Testament scriptures, from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant, through the life and ministry and death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. Something has shifted and the way we're to understand space in the presence of God. For the curtain was torn in two. The temple that separated the Holy Holies from the rest of the courts was torn in two upon Christ's crucifixion. And the presence of God came to dwell in this space and on this earth in a new, refreshing way. And that exists still today, for we live under this new covenant. You see, now God's presence dwells among us. And not just among us, but within us. In a way so very different than what would have been understood under the old covenant. And so as we consider this summer, this theme of worship, and as today we more specifically consider our space in which we gather, there are several implications I would like us to consider because we now live under this new covenant. And the first is this, that the church can gather in God's presence anytime and anywhere. The church can gather in God's presence anytime and anywhere. Why? Because God's presence is not restricted to a particular place. Because God's presence does not just dwell within our hand-built structures. This means that the invitation to worship God is one that is open to all places and times. Jesus promises us in Matthew 28:20, "Surely I am with you always." That even as Christ would ascend into the heavens, he's promising his presence would be with us always. How? Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So he promises this gift that would be given to the church, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and through that gift promises his presence to be with us always, with us at all times and in all places. And so in Acts chapter 16, you see Paul and some of the followers on a Sabbath day. In this particular case, they don't go to a temple. They don't go to a synagogue. They go down outside the city to a river. Why? Because they expected to see people gathered there, believers gathered there, with a new understanding that God's presence no longer dwells just in these temple spaces. This is where they meet Lydia. This is where they share the gospel with her, where she and her household are baptized, where this group of women had gathered by a river, not in a temple, by a river, to worship God. And we see examples of this throughout the book of Acts and into the New Testament scriptures, and through the early church, where God's people could now gather anytime and any place, in homes, by rivers. Wherever they came together, God's presence was with them. Now, the second point related to this is there's something special about the way we experience God's presence when we are in community. There's something special about the way we experience God's presence when we gather together as a community. Jesus said, "Where two or three gather in my name, there I am with you." There's a unique way that we can experience the presence of God when we are among other believers. Now, solitude is important. To get away from community, to get away so that we are alone with the Lord from time to time is important, but every contemplative person will tell you that the purpose of solitude is not to remain isolated, but to meet God, to be encouraged so that we can step back into community. You see, our purpose and our calling as a church is to gather in community, to affirm one another, to help one another discern the movements of the Spirit in our lives, to hear the word and to process the word and to learn the word together, to lift up our lives as a worshiping community to God, to be in fellowship, true Christian fellowship, koinonia, with one another. There's something special when we gather together because we, the people, are the church. The ecclesia is the Greek word. The body of believers. I love in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, and this is speaking to the church in Antioch, where Christians were really first called Christians. It said, "So it was that for an entire year, they," this is Paul and the followers, the believers, "they met with the church and taught a great many people." You know what that verse doesn't say? It doesn't say, it was for an entire year that they met at the church. It says that they met with the church. Who was the church? Who was the ecclesia? It was the people, the community of believers. The people were the church. What was important was that they were gathering with them, not the location of where they gathered. There's a shift in Scripture that moves us from these spaces to the people of God. Why? And here's the third point: because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells within you. The Spirit of God that hovered over the waters, that brought order out of chaos at the creation of all things, dwells within you, dwells within me, dwells within all who come to faith through Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit?" The sanctuary where God now dwells is you. You see, this old covenant understanding was that God's presence was in a particular place, and so because God's presence dwelled in the tabernacle or in the temple, we had to enter into that space to enter into God's presence. But in Jesus Christ, in the new covenant, that's reversed. It's switched so that now God's presence through the ministry of the Holy Spirit dwells within us. So instead of us entering into the presence of God has come and entered into us. Folks, this is no small thing. God comes and makes his dwelling place in us. We are built for this purpose, created for this purpose, the image of God placed within us for this purpose. You could say that God created us, or God built us. In the same way that human hands built the temple so that God's presence could come dwell there, God has built you and me so that his presence could come dwell within us. God has created us as his sanctuaries. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are God's masterpiece." You are God's masterpiece. Now, if you go back and you read about how the Old Testament temple was built, with great detail, with incredible cause and concern for attention to detail, much like this space. I mean, this wasn't just thrown together. Incredible plans were put into every detail of it to create this space that would help us experience the presence of God when we gathered, that would help bring a worshipful attitude. How much more were you and I knit together in our mother's wombs, formed by our God? The attention to detail that God put into each one of you, each one of us, so great, so incredible, so that an even more magnificent temple and sanctuary would be built for God to dwell in. And that more magnificent temple and sanctuary is you, is me. The next point: it is God's presence within each of you that makes this space special. I'm having trouble speaking this morning. It is God's presence within each of you that makes this space special, that makes this a safe place, that creates in this space a sanctuary. Yes, it's special. It's most special because of you. Does God's presence dwell in this place? Yes, when God's people enter it. Why? Because God's presence dwells in each of you. In you and in me. And when we gather here together, there is a fullness of God's presence that we can experience that we may not experience if I just come and sit in this space by myself. And there are great moments and wonderful times where God meets me in that way. But when we gather together as a community, the presence of God within each of us, there's a fullness that we can experience that we don't experience individually and in isolation. So let me say that a different way. We lose something when you are not here. We lose something when part of our community is not present with us and among us. I feel it. Do you? I wonder if you feel it. I feel it. There are Sundays where I feel that there's something lacking here because we're not fully attuned to the way God is present within us. Or perhaps because there are those that aren't with us on that particular morning, that bring God's presence in their own special, unique way, in the way that they're created and designed as the poema, the workmanship of God, to carry God's presence. And you see, gathering in worship, it's not about the numbers from an ego standpoint, and I can get wrapped up in that too. On a Sunday morning, it's like, oh, how many people were in church? It's easy to get wrapped up in that side of the numbers, but what I do feel when we gather as a community is that when more of us are here, the experience of God's presence is more full. Oftentimes in our culture, we think about what we can receive. We church shop for a place or a house of worship where we can be most fed. And there are some things important about that. But I would ask you to consider this question. What do I offer to this community when I come and be a part of their gathering? In what way has God created and wired me to carry God's presence so that when I walk into this space, it's a blessing to the community? To flip it from what can I gain to what can I give by being here? Because each of us has something so special, the very presence of God, to offer to this community. What makes this sanctuary a safe place, a place of refuge, is how we then care for one another. As we both carry the presence of the Lord within us and offer that, and as we honor one another in the very presence of God that is within each of us. How incredible could it be if every person that walks through any of these doors and enters into this space suddenly feels like they are being honored? That they are seen with eyes that see within them the very presence of God. These one another's in Scripture, and I know I've read this list many times. I'm not going to read all of it. Google it sometime. It'll pop up immediately. All of the commands that we're giving to how we're to treat one another. You see, there was no, like, individual Christianity. There was no individual faith. There was no, it's me and God, understanding of the gospel message. It was a coming into a community. where we love one another, serve one another, accept one another, strengthen one another, help one another, encourage one another, care for one another, forgive one another, submit to one another, and on and on and on. Where we honor one another. Are we a broken people? Absolutely. But we are a broken people saved by Jesus Christ, who are clothed in his righteousness and carry his very presence into this space. Can we look in the mirror and see that within us? Can we look at one another and see that within one another? You see, in the very way that we can admire this building, that we can admire these windows, that we can admire that detail, I would encourage us that we can begin to honor and admire one another in that same way. Admire the very details that God put into creating each person that's a part of this family. Each person that walks through these doors. Each person that gathers in this space. Now, the next point is that this physical space still has meaning. It still has meaning. It has meaning in that it serves a purpose. And there's lots of different ways that we can talk about the purpose that this space fulfills. But what I would say is that we need to continue to consider the design of this space and how we use the space so that it is accomplishing the particular purpose and mission that God lays on our hearts. So let me just throw some ideas out to you in terms of how I see the purpose here of this space. There's a phrase many of you have heard: the church is not a museum of saints, but a hospital for sinners. This isn't a place where all who gather are already perfected and are saintly. This is a place where we understand that the broken of the world are come to gather, to be bandaged, to be cleaned up, to be cared for, to receive healing. This is a space where the church gathers, as I've already said, to worship God together, to be in fellowship, to care for one another, to experience a more full sense of God's presence, to find healing from the Lord. At times, I like to think of our building as a respite center, a place where you can come after and before a busy week and have a glimpse of rest, true rest and peace in God. I was driving somewhere yesterday and was watching the little thing in our van tell me how many miles I had left before I ran out of gas. Sometimes I think we're having a competition to see just how low we can go. My wife assures me, honey, you can get to zero and you still have plenty of time to go. I've been there several times. But you know, you can't get much out of a van once it runs out of gas. In some ways, this church space is a refueling station, because we live in a world where more and more all of us are running around on empty, just trying to see just how much further we can go and push ourselves before we truly crash and run out of gas. This provides a space for us to gather on a weekly basis to be refueled, to have our emotional tanks refueled, our spiritual tanks refueled, at times our physical tanks refueled, as we are nourished by Jesus Christ himself, who dwells within and among us through word and sacrament and the fellowship of believers. One of the things I love about going away on vacation is the feeling I have when I come home. You know what I mean? It's like, I love the feeling of pulling away from home and going away. But after a while, don't you just kind of miss being at home? There's a recentering that can kind of happen to our souls as we come back to our place where we most regularly live and dwell. In a lot of ways, this space is meant to be a home for us. Some of you have been gathering here for decades and decades. That's not to say you're old. You just have a lot more experience at it than some of us. In that sense, when you walk through these doors of feeling at home, being recentered, coming into the presence of one another in the family of faith, in a space that means so much, and being met by God. To be able to come into the space and for at least a moment feel like it is well with my soul. All a glimpse of what it'll one day be like to enter into our eternal dwelling place in the perfect presence of God. But we don't live here, do we? And in the same way that a few of the disciples with Jesus experienced this incredible thing with the transfiguration on the top of the mountain, they were then told to go back down into the valleys. And each Sunday we gather in this space and we experience all of these things, Lord willing, and then we are to carry God's sanctuary into the world. You see, whatever it is that we find here, in whatever way we experience God's presence dwelling within us and among us, in whatever way we experience God's safety and God's peace and love and comfort, we are then called missionally to go live our lives in a way that we carry that into the world. Why? Because you are the sanctuary. Because God's presence does not remain here when we leave. God's presence, who dwells within us, obviously goes with us when we leave through these doors. So God sends us to be sanctuaries of God's presence in the world, to bring that safety, to bring that peace, to bring that love, to honor those in the world in the same way that we learn to honor one another. Do you think that the world needs this? We're surrounded by individuals filled with fears and anxieties and motivated deeply by those things. I've come to really dislike a lot of those cliche things that we as Christians often say. What this world needs is God. Well, friends, if the world needs God, guess who's called to take God to the world? We are. Because if we are the sanctuary, and we are, and God dwells within us, then for us to say the world needs God is to say the world needs me. The world needs you. Well, we just got to get God back in the schools. We kick God out of the schools. Of course this stuff's happening. Do you realize, that's an insane comment. We kicked God out of the schools. Who do we think we are that we could kick God out of anywhere? But the only way that God is not in the schools is if God's people are not in the schools. Why? Because the dwelling place of God is within you and me. And so wherever you walk and wherever you enter, the Lord God is present there with you, dwelling in you. And so the only way God's not in the school is if God's people are not in the school. The only way that prayer isn't anywhere is if God's people aren't in prayer. There's a very real need in the world right now, and we know it, we're living it, we're witnessing it, we're experiencing it. A very real need for God's loving presence to be made known and to touch the world around us. And God's promise to us is that through Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit would come and fill us and anoint us and that the very presence of God through that ministry of the Holy Spirit, through that filling, through that anointing, would come to us in a way that equips us and gives us everything we need to leave these doors and enter into the world and become God's sanctuary to people on the outside of these walls. And what's special about this place, you, the people of God, becomes what's special about the world. You, the people of God, as we carry the presence of the God who dwells within us into a world and offer that world a taste of sanctuary. This isn't an easy calling. But when we begin to live that way, we begin to experience the Lord working in us in amazing ways and through us in amazing ways. And it also begins to affect what happens here on Sunday mornings, because we come in as a people both needing and expecting and anticipating God to show up and refuel us for the work that God's called us to do. And so we gather as an anticipatory people, expecting God to show up because God has promised to nourish us and equip us and to be present with us out there. And so God must meet us here. Because God doesn't call us into something that God will not give us the energy, the gifting, and the power to live into. So this is the part of all of this where I'm kind of like, all right, Lord, now what? What I do sense is that the Lord wants us to enter into a time of prayer and reflection. And so we're going to begin there. And maybe God's already putting something on your heart this morning that is stirring. That already tells you, this is what I want to bring to the Lord, and this is how I'm going to use this time. And so I just invite you into that space. Perhaps you, like me, in this moment are kind of like, all right, Lord, I don't know exactly what you want to do in my heart, but I'm just going to allow myself to be open to how the Spirit wants to move. And so I just invite you to receive a posture of openness. And yet in the midst of that, I keep coming back to this word, honor my people. Let's honor one another. And so in the midst of this time, I would just encourage you, as you spend some time in prayer, that you would notice the people around you. You can maybe ask questions. How can I honor this person in the Spirit of God that dwells within them? And let's, for these few moments, be a community of people that just allows the Lord to dwell within and among and be open to that. And be open to the way the Spirit might want to move. Just want to invite you, if there's something quickening in your heart where you sense that maybe this ministry of the Holy Spirit, this anointing, this filling that that I often talk about is something that you're not sure you've experienced, I first want you to know that if you are in Jesus Christ, you have all that you need. And yet there is a way that Paul talks about being filled with the Spirit over and over and over again, that there's a way that we can become more open to the Spirit of God dwelling within us and the way the Spirit wants to work in us. And so I just want to speak a simple prayer of blessing over all of you. But I would just encourage you, if that's something you especially desire to receive, that you would just maybe even just place your hands on your lap and open those hands, just something with your body, just to say, yes, Lord, I want more. And then in the strong name of Jesus Christ, I bless each of you who are God's chosen, who are God's workmanship, who are God's created ones, with a special blessing of the Spirit's presence, that you would be filled over and over again, that an anointing would fall upon you, that the presence and power of God that already dwells within you would begin to well up from within and fill you and strengthen you and equip you in new ways. Just allow yourself to rest in that prayer. And then I want to take just a moment for us to honor one another in the presence of God that dwells within us. I just want to invite you to look at the folks around you and simply say to them, you are the workmanship of God. If you like to use Greek words so that you sound smart, say, you are the poema of God. Tell the people around yourselves that God's presence dwells within you. Let's just take a few moments. If we all do this, it's not awkward. Awkwardness goes away with community. Just take a few moments to tell the folks around you, the Spirit of God dwells within you. You are the workmanship of God. And I believe God's desire is for us to take simple words like that, simple gestures, simple postures into the world. And so I would just encourage you today that you would step into something simple like that with someone that you see or someone you know. It's amazing what you can do with a smile. It's amazing what you can communicate just in the way that you look at someone. And so maybe that's a first step for you. But perhaps God will push you a little bit more and encourage you to just speak those words to someone that you see in the world today. And trust that the Spirit knows that they need to hear that. That you are the workmanship of God. If nothing else has hit this morning, although I sense the Lord doing some good things, I hope you hear that you are the dwelling place of the Lord, that this space is an incredible space, but what makes it most special is you and the way that the Spirit of God dwells within you and the way the Spirit of God therefore dwells among us when we gather together as His people.